Hello and welcome to the Purple Orange podcast, where we shine a light on the stories of people with disability in our community. I'm your host, Belle Owen. This podcast is recorded on Kaurna land. This is episode 5, and today we're going to talk about identity, anger, grief, and the journey to self-acceptance that can come with disability. My disability is genetic. I've had it for my whole life. And so for me, I haven't experienced grief. Sure, I've considered, you know, what might my life might look like without disability. What would my job be if I wasn't a disability advocate? Who would I socialize with? Would my relationships with my family and friends be different? Would they even be my family and friends? But ultimately, I can't separate myself from disability because it's something that's been with me for my whole life. This isn't the case for today's guest. When she acquired disability as an adult, this changed the trajectory of her life and sent her on a journey of self-discovery and a re-understanding of who she was. Carrie Shear brings us the story.
Tell me about yourself. Who are you? At 25 years old, Lauren could answer those questions without flinching.
My whole life, everything, who I was, my purpose in this world was I was a teacher. Second to that, I was a dancer because I did ballet and Irish dancing for most of my life and was still dancing. So Lauren at 25 would have introduced herself as a teacher and as a dancer.
Lauren didn't just know who she was. She knew where she was going.
I thought I was going to get married soon and then, you know, have a baby and kind of do all those societal norms that people expect after being in a relationship for 6 years. But yeah, I think I was quite confident in knowing who I was and what I wanted for my future. So yeah, you can imagine how it felt when it was all kind of taken away.
The day Lauren's life diverged from her carefully constructed and planned path started just like any other day. She was teaching reception kids at the time.
One of my students was stuck on top of a piece of playground equipment. Not something new to me, as my young boys definitely loved to climb. On this particular day, I decided to climb up a couple of rails on the piece of equipment to get a little closer to him. And I was pointing to where he needed to place his foot. He was listening to me and navigating his way down to me safely. I was like, great. And before I could climb down safely to return to the ground, he decided to jump off the rest of the way. But as he turned around to jump off the piece of equipment, he had hold of my jumper and I just wasn't ready for it. I simply lost my balance. Thankfully, my student was fine. He kind of dusted himself off the ground, kind of looked at me strangely because I was still on the ground, and he ran off to continue to play. But I unfortunately was still on the ground.
Lauren hit her head, resulting in a traumatic brain injury. After leaving hospital, she spent the first weeks mostly in bed, unable to do anything, unable to even focus her eyes on anything. But she didn't yet grasp how serious the situation was. She thought she just needs to get back to work. She'll recover. But her doctor told her a resounding no.
And he was telling me that I couldn't go back to doing something that I loved. I was just so mad. I was so mad at him.
She had to report to this doctor daily. And even though she was struggling to get out of bed, she was insistent on one demand: going back to work.
I wasn't going to, you know, let it go. So he, in his mind, he's probably like, well, she needs to experience it for herself and then she'll come back and go, okay, you're right. He cleared me for half a day. And I don't think I lasted 45 minutes in the classroom. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't talk. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing there. It was like I was hollow, like my body was there, but Lauren was not there. And thankfully I had an awesome SSO that took one look at me and was like, you know, how about I take over? And I just nodded at her and she had to tell me, take a few steps and open the door. And I was like, okay. And I left after that. I just cried for the rest of the day.
At that point, Lauren thought, okay, maybe she needs a few months to get back on track. And first step is working out what's happening with her eyes.
I couldn't read anymore. Couldn't look at my phone, couldn't watch TV, couldn't look at anything. So really my eyes were useless.
she was sent off to a neuro-optometrist.
He told me that the way my eyes and brain communicate with each other at the moment was not, they weren't working in sync anymore. As we were leaving, he tapped Mum on the shoulder and said, give me a call when she's fully recovered because I'm really interested to know when that'll be. And he said, I don't think it's going to be for a very, very long time. And I overheard.
That was the first moment where Lauren understood. This isn't just a little hurdle. This is a life-changing event. A unique kind of loneliness took hold.
I could have been surrounded by, you know, five of my family members and still felt completely alone. It is a very different type of loss and type of loneliness and type of isolation.
Did you have any kind of social life at that time?
No. I tried. I was trying. And if I knew that there was something that I wanted to go to, even if it was just like a coffee on a Friday, I knew that I could not do anything for the entire week leading up to it. I'd probably be in bed unable to move because that, you know, simple coffee catch up just took everything out of me. Kind of get to a stage where you do have to ask yourself who's worth feeling crap for in your life. When you go through something like this, you do find out who your true friends are. One pivotal moment was I met this group of people for a breakfast. And I remember walking in and everyone was there already. And I sat down and it's like, oh, hi, you know, oh, hi, yeah, hi. And, you know, they, you know, continued the conversation. Everyone was, you know, laughing their heads off, you know, talking. And I sat there, I was like, not once did anybody ask anything about me or check in or ask how I was going. And then, like, you're in two minds. You're like, well, not everything is about you, Lauren. But on the other hand, I wanted to cry the whole time I was there. I just felt like I was not a part of any conversation. I felt really numb and just disconnected. I was almost starting to have that out-of-body experience again where my body and brain is just, you know, we're going to shut down because this is not good for us and we're just going to leave your shell of a outer person here.
It wasn't just friendships that were lost. That future of marriage, house, and babies she'd envisioned with her boyfriend, that also didn't survive.
I don't think we, on both sides, handled things very well. And I didn't know who I was anymore. So how was I supposed to be there and connect with somebody else in my life where I felt like a broken shell of a person?
At some point, Lauren did return to work, but not to teach. She was at the school doing small ad hoc tasks.
People would leave me little jobs like cutting up visuals and laminating things for them, which I absolutely hated. I knew that, you know, these jobs were only temporary. It would help me get back into the classroom, but I hated every second of it. I didn't want to do it. I had no interest. So it was almost like my heart and my brain were telling me two contradicting things. Like my heart was telling me, this is the right place for you. Don't give up. And my brain was telling me, like, this is absolute crap. Let's get out of here as quickly as possible. Let's hate everyone. Let's hate everything. And then you can imagine feeling those things and then having to do small talk in a staff room.
As much as she hated being there, it was this one tiny fragile thread connecting her to her old life, and she was holding on to it. But one day, it snapped. She was in the staff room, and suddenly she was struggling to form any words. Her colleagues called an ambulance.
They think maybe I had a TIA, transient ischemic attack, which is like very short, almost like stroke-like symptoms that are temporary and go away. I guess it was my body's way of saying no more, Lauren. And I'd never went back.
Who are you? Tell me about yourself. Those questions felt very different to Lauren at 26. 27, 28, then to Lauren at 25.
I couldn't answer that anymore. Well, I lost my career. I lost my hobbies. I lost friends. I lost relationship. I lost my ability to socialize. I lost some of my independence. You know, not being able to drive myself around anymore. or just complete, you know, daily ordinary tasks independently. I lost my sense of self, like my identity. And I grieved. It was probably 2 or 3 years, if I'm being honest, of grieving and trying to come to terms with accepting my life as it was. People go, you know, oh, it could have been worse. You know, you're here, you're doing a good job. You know, embrace this part of your life or whatever they're going to say. And it's, you can't get to acceptance without grieving first. And people just needed to let me grieve.
Early on in Lauren's rehab, she kept a log of her symptoms and fatigue levels. But as time went on, this simple log evolved into a journal of her thoughts, feelings, and experiences as she navigated this new path. And she began sharing her writing with her family and friends. Her brain injury is invisible to those around her, so this helped them better understand. And she got great feedback. And so one day, she decided to turn the journal into an online blog. Very quickly, she realized just how needed it was.
I remember one gal, I think she was the one from Ireland, saying that she was sitting in an airport and came across my blog and was reading it. She goes, I just started like crying. She goes, so many people were looking at me in the airport, like, why is this girl crying? But she's like, it was the first story, or I was the first person she'd ever come across that was going through the exact same thing that she was. Or I had family members go, like, I've been struggling to understand what my son was going through, and now, like, you know, thanks to you and your story, I better understand. And it opened my eyes to a whole world, a whole brain injury community online that I didn't even know existed. So I started to meet new people, connect with people. We were encouraging each other. It was awesome.
A common experience shared amongst this online community was the sense of loneliness and isolation after a brain injury. This motivated Lauren to start a local meetup.
I run it once a month called Butterfly Hour, and it's just a chance for people in the brain injury community to come together in the Botanic Gardens. We're 2.5 years into Butterfly Hour now, and there's people there that haven't missed one, which is awesome. And so you get the regulars, and when a regular doesn't show up, everyone's like, oh, where's John? And it's like, oh, I'm going to check on him. So that's really nice. Like, we're building friendships and relationships, and people can check in on each other. But then, you know, people coming up and like tapping me on the back and turning around and going, like, I just wanted to say thank you so much for putting this on. And, you know, grown men starting to cry, telling me how much it means to them. That's why I keep going. I know how important it is.
Today, Butterfly Hour isn't just for people with a brain injury.
I'm so sick of having all these important conversations about things, and we're all sitting around a table going, yes, yes, that's so important, let's tell everyone. But nobody in the non-disabled community is actually in the room to hear and to listen and to learn and grow with us. So Butterfly Hour is not just for the disability community, not just for the brain injury community, it's for the entire community. Like, why are we all these like tiny little communities? Let's just be one.
Today, Lauren is 31. She works in a part-time casual capacity at Purple Orange, teaching businesses and organizations how to be more inclusive to the disability community. She also teaches a tutorial at Flinders University about disability. She's also found love, and she's got loving and supportive friends and family. She still has impacts from the brain injury. She accepts that this will likely always be a part of her.
I still have moments of being heartbroken, and I still have moments of grieving. My life definitely has its big challenges and hard moments. Like, I don't think I'll ever be able to work full time again. And I'd love to go to a wedding or a party where I didn't have to worry about how I'm going to feel over the next day, 5 days, week after recovering. You know, my life doesn't really have that spontaneity anymore. But I think about all the people that I've met and all the things I've learnt and all the experiences that I've gained because of the work that I'm doing now. I love it even more than what I was doing before, and I couldn't have imagined doing anything else with my life 5 years ago, so that's really awesome. And then I guess everything that I've built with the Orange Butterfly, that's been a massive positive thing that's come out of my accident, and one that I definitely would not be involved in if my accident didn't happen.
To read Lauren's blog or to find out more about the Butterfly Hour, head to www.theorangebutterfly.blog.
While life with disability, whether it's lifelong or acquired, can present unique challenges and barriers, it doesn't mean it's less than, it's just different. Life might not always look the way that we expect it to, but that's okay. If you have a story you'd like to share or feedback on the podcast, please get in touch. You can reach us on Facebook, email us at stories@purpleorange.org.au or call 08-8373-8388 or visit our website at purpleorange.org.au. I hope you join us next time for episode 6. It's a really important one about the right to inclusive education. I'm Belle Owen. Thanks for listening.